A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today I'm excited because we're doing another couples episode. It's been a while since I've had like two people on the podcast at one time, but I figured, you know, my two good friends, Nikki Hiltz and Emma Gee, are the perfect people to have on and just have a very good conversation that goes in a lot of different directions. So Nikki's already been on the podcast a couple different times, but this is Emma's first time on the podcast. We talk about a bunch of different things. I don't even know how to describe this episode, but it's so funny. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Welcome to the podcast.
What's up, dude?
Emma and Nikki. Nikki's already been on a couple times, maybe two times. It's been a while, though, since you've been on. So welcome back. Yeah, and Emma's a new guest.
Welcome. Oh, my God. Hi.
So how are we gonna... couples episode.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Do you guys have, like how am we going to distinguish between the Emmas? Oh. Do you have, like, nicknames? Or?
I mean, I just call... Emma, and then Emma would call me. Emma,
right. So. Yeah, I think that would work. Hey, we have like slightly different voices though, so I feel like people would.
Yeah.
Also, like, yeah. How often are you referring to people by name? Anyway.
Yeah. Well, when I said, okay, never mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's like not an issue, I don't think.
It's more of an issue in my head, but yeah.
Yeah, even though you can see both of us talking also.
Yeah. So. Completely different.
I think he's the only one with the issue.
Sorry. Jeez. I was just didn't want to confuse the listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. My listeners are smart. Only smart people listen to this podcast. Okay. So yeah. They'll be able to get it.
Maybe I'm dumb.
Me just starting off insulting my guests. Okay, well, to get started, do you want to just like give us a little bit about you guys? Like tell us about yourselves.
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Emma.
I'll introduce Emma and you introduce me.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's cute.
Yeah. Introduce me.
All right, this is Emma Gee, not Abrahamson.
Not to be confused.
And Emma is my partner. That's just terrible. Okay. Emma Gee is a runner and my partner. She's also an advocate for the LGBTQ community and the first openly out athlete to attend BYU University. And
where am I from?
Oh, from Colorado.
Yeah.
Boulder, right outside of Boulder.
Yeah.
And yeah, her big goal right now is to qualify for the U.S. championships in the steeplechase, and I am coaching her to hopefully do that.
Yeah. Okay, and then this is Nikki Hiltz. Nikki is from Santa Cruz, California. They are trans non-binary. They use they/them pronouns. Great jawline. They ran at Oregon with Emma, and then you transferred to University of Arkansas, and then you ran for Adidas, and then you like made the world team. And then you changed your life, and then you got a new coach, and then you were running, and then speed up, and then you signed with like Lululemon, and you run the 1500 and the 800 sometimes.
Yeah.
And your goal is to make the world team this year, and you know, be in the top three in the U.S. for the 1500.
Yeah.
And dominate on a global scale. So.
Yeah. Okay. Some high expectations.
Yeah.
Oh, and they recently broke 2 minutes in the 800, and you just won like a bunch of races in Iowa. And Nikki is an advocate for the transgender community and the queer community.
Oh yeah.
And you started the Pride 5K, which I worked with you on, and so.
Oh yeah, we're both race directors of the Pride 5K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, and your favorite color is green. So yep. There we go.
There you go. Wow, I feel like that was just a very good summary of each of you.
Episode done.
Yeah, also, oh yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for coming. Always
good. It sounds like you guys have a lot going on, though. I feel like that's a lot of, like, things that you're working on. And you guys are, I feel like you both are running super well right now. So
yeah. Emma also just PR'd in the steeplechase.
Oh my gosh, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9:52, baby. Peyton Jordan. We love the Stanford track. Did you like the Stanford track when you were, like, in high school and college and everything?
I did. I ran a good 1500 there when I was in college. And then high school, I think I only ran on it once and I, like, sucked. But
no.
I had a great time. I love the Stanford campus. Like, it's a beautiful area. So, you know, maybe I have, like, I have mixed feelings about it. But yeah. I think it's good vibes. I mean, everyone seems to run well there most of the time. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I love that. I'm glad you had a good 15 on it. That makes sense. That
well, yeah, I had to make up for it. Like, it was, like, honestly, probably one of the worst races I had my senior year was at Stanford. I, like, absolutely, I don't even know what happened. I just died.
Your senior year of high school?
Okay. Yeah, in high school. And then I had to make up for it, you know, when I went back. And I just got my wisdom teeth out, too. And then I just decided to race. Marisa was that's like, let's put you in the Stanford, like, the fastest. I was like, sure, throw me in there.
Why not?
After your wisdom teeth.
Yeah. But then I PR'd. So, you know, I guess all you have to do is just lose a couple teeth and you'll PR.
Absolutely.
I would have never known that that was the way to do it.
That's like a tip with Emma. So that's like why people listen to my podcast is to get tips from me. That's a new one. I don't know if I've talked about it.
That's good to know because Nikki still has their wisdom teeth. So if you want to knock a few seconds off, you should.
Yeah, it's Emma. I'm trying to hold off until the end of the season, but sometimes they like hurt.
Really? I'm surprised they still have them.
I know. Why do you still have them?
I am a late bloomer, guys. I don't know.
Still coming in.
I'm 28 years old, and they're just now coming out.
I'm just now popping in. That kind of sucks, though. Like, I got mine out when I was in when I was at Oregon, and it was on the Oregon Athletics dime, which was nice because it's kind of expensive to get them out. It's like $5,000 or something.
Smart. That's a tip. Okay, if you're a college athlete and you haven't gotten your wisdom teeth out, get them out.
Yeah.
Yes, that's,
That is such a hot take.
Well, sometimes because a lot of people don't have dental insurance, like
the
girl right here. So it would be nice to not have to pay for that, you know?
So nice.
But then you do have to run a 1500 right after it happens, so just put that into perspective. There's not really a good time to do it.
That's a good strategy for USA's. The week before, get your wisdom teeth out, and then it'll be like you'll just be flying.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's so funny.
What is this tangent we just
went on? Oh, I like wisdom
teeth. Off to a great start. Okay, wait, Emma, what is there a standard for the USAs? I kind of forgot how it works.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, yeah. So the new 3K steeple USA standard is 9:35. Okay. Obviously, I think they do sometimes, like, fill the field. So I think if you're, like, sub 9:40, maybe you'd be good to get in.
They basically are going to take the top 30. How USAs works is they take the top 30 in each event.
Like times.
Yeah. So we're watching the tennis docuseries on Netflix, and I feel like tennis is very much about rankings, and like I feel a good way to look at it is like my goal is to be ranked, not even ranked, to get top three at USA's. Emma's goal is to be ranked top 30 to make USA's. So that's kind of like
our journey. That's like the T. So so I ran a 9:52 like 2 weeks ago, so I still have some time to take off in the steeplechase, but I feel like the whole thing with the steeple is like you're like in a certain shape, and I feel like it takes like two or three steeples to actually run the time that you're in shape for. So basically you don't know how fast you are until you do like your third steeple, at least for me. So I'm excited.
You're off to a good start then.
It's been good. It's crazy to like jump back in a track meet though. It's so chaotic. Like the college kids are so freaking fast, so aggressive, so competitive. They're out for blood. Like Brian Clay was unhinged.
Yeah, like, I was watching that meet online. It looked unhinged. I was like, why is everyone so fast? I was watching the 1500s and I was like, all I could say, sorry to people listening, but I was like, I am so glad I'm not in college anymore.
Yes. Same. Seriously.
Why is everyone running 410? is what I want to know. I'm like, that's not, that wasn't happening back in our day.
No. Yeah, literally, it's crazy. I mean, you're 800. Yeah. That was a college kid that you were racing.
Yeah, no, they're on fire. It's really, I mean, it's really cool to see, but like, yeah, I'm very grateful I'm not in the chaos anymore.
They're next level. They're so cool. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyways. What's, does Nikki have like a special sauce in terms of coaching? Like, what's the specialty? Why, how are you getting so good?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Nikki, you just like know so much about the sport. How do I explain this? Like, yeah, I feel like you've been coached by some like the best coaches in the NCAA and then like post NCAA, right? So yeah, I feel like you've kind of just like taken things from each program that you've been a part of. And then you like sat down and like wrote my training. And I'm just like, I think I have the best training program out of anyone. Because you like pick and choose what you've liked from each
one.
It's
kind of like a melting pot of all the coaches.
Right. Yeah. So I feel very blessed to have someone who has had so much experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're a great coach. Like,
oh, thanks, Emma.
You're very calming presence. You know what you're doing.
I don't yell.
Yeah, you don't yell, which I hate coaches that yell so much. You're not like a cis man. So I love that. What else?
I will say it's very easy to coach someone who is very confident in themselves. Like, I feel like it's easy to be like, me being like, yeah, Emma, like, you're going to run 9:30. And then she's like, yeah, I am. Like, I'm like, oh, okay.
You don't have to convince
no
person so of anything.
It makes it easy. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You're a good coach. What's your favorite part of your coaching?
What's your favorite part of coaching me?
Yeah, what's your favorite thing about me, actually?
I just took over.
Sorry. No,
I yeah, honestly, just have a conversation. I'll just be here. I'll be the fly on the wall.
I think it's that. I think it's the confidence you have in yourself. And, like,
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good quality to have, yeah.
What's, like, the training philosophy? Like, is it, like, a lot of miles or is it, like, a lot of speed? What's the vibe? Are you allowed to give away your secrets?
Yeah, I don't care. I just want to set Emma up. Like, it's not about me. It's about Emma. And, like, I just want to...
You can talk about front side drills.
Yep. I do, like...
Because you had an issue. You were like, you could improve your
form. Oh, Emma's... Yeah, I want to improve Emma's speed and, like, form and, like...
I had a little bit of a limp when I was running.
Yeah,
so if that makes sense.
And I think I've learned that like drills really help with your form, and so like Mondays and Thursdays we do a lot of drills, but overall it's high mileage and kind of more of an emphasis on like either like really strength stuff on Tuesdays and then really speed stuff on Fridays, so not a lot in the middle, but like that's, we're also early in the season, so we're like kind of working to that middle ground, but kind of on either end, isn't that?
There you go.
Strength and speed.
Okay. That sounds about like the every other program. Sounds about on par.
Everyone does the same.
The same as every single athlete. Yeah.
I forgot what was, I know, I was talking with Colleen and we were talking about like running programs and how they're just like everyone does the exact same thing. Like I can just guess. Like, and there's like a 90% chance it's like on Tuesday you're doing tempo run, on Friday you're doing track workout, and either Saturday or Sunday it's a long run. Everything else is recovery. So
it's the same. Yeah, it's literally that. Oh,
but we also lift. I feel like that's a good
lift. Yeah, we lift.
We're
really unique. We lift sometimes also. So yeah, so special.
Okay.
Yeah, running is so boring.
But I don't know anything about like hurdles or steeples, so I just. My job is to get Emma like 3K fit, and then I'm like, you look great. Like, you do all the hurdle stuff. I'm like, looks good to me.
I know. I wouldn't even know how to like go about teaching someone how to do anything about the hurdles. Like, I feel like if you don't run the steeplechase, you just don't know. Unless, I feel like even coaching it, I'm just like, how do the coaches know?
Unless you've done it. Yeah. Honestly, nobody does know.
But Emma's you're a really good hurdler. So it makes sense.
That's really nice of you to say. Colleen knew what she was talking about.
This was hilarious.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Colleen was like, and Emma were doing hurdles together. And like, Colleen would like tell Emma what to do and then be like, okay, I'm gonna demonstrate. And me and Emma are like standing there, like watching Colleen goes flawlessly over the hurdle. And Emma just like kind of under her breath to me just goes, That's an Olympian right there.
Like, it's just so, like, you know they're really talented. Like, an Emma Coburn, a Colleen. Like, you know how good they are, obviously. But then you, like, do drills with them, and you're just like, yeah, there's a reason you're, you know, winning and shit. I don't know. It was really beautiful. So it's fun to be around someone like Colleen, who's very, like, good at what she does. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard if you're like that good too to like teach someone how to do it. I don't know. It's like, I mean, you're also good at the steeplechase, so I feel like it's probably not that hard to teach it. But if you were to teach someone brand new, I feel like it's really difficult if you're like the absolute best to teach someone that doesn't know how to do it at all. Like if Colleen was like with me, if she was like, all right, I'm gonna teach you how to do steeple drills, I'd be like, girl, I would see her go over one hurdle and be like, no, sorry, that's not for me. I give up.
She's so good at it, and I embarrassed myself because she did a drill, and then I went to do it, and I smacked my leg on the hurdle, and then she, like, turns around, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, it just sounds so much worse than it is, and so you just, kudos to her. She's done a phenomenal job in that event, and I don't understand it sometimes, but you just have to have enough momentum going in. But the real people who are good at hurdlers are, like, the 400 hurdlers, so.
I'll ask Sydney McLaughlin like next time I talk to her.
Talk to Sydney about
that. We chat all the time, so she'll give me some tips.
Has she been on the pod?
No, there's no way she even answers my DMs. I mean, I guess I could reach out to her agent. I'm way too small.
You're shy.
Oh, she
I mean,
would.
Maybe
you would. Yeah,
I think I haven't. I haven't had one sprinter on my podcast yet, so. I probably should branch out maybe a little bit.
That's funny because I remember when I was doing my podcast, I was like, yeah, I'm going to reach out to some of these like queer sprinters. Didn't hear back from one of them.
I DM'd a couple. I've like DM'd people, but no answer. I'm like, wow, you don't want to rock with me. It's fine.
Yeah, like it just, you know,
it's not their brand to go on con.
No, literally. It's hey, and I can't even take offense. You know, I'm not even going to take offense.
I'm so bad.
We're just nerdy. Like disenchanters are just nerdy. It's hard.
Oh, absolutely.
The sprinters are like so much cooler. And I did think it was funny to realize like when you go to USA's, like the sprinters are not going out to the bars the way like they're not going out to the bars with the like distance runners.
No.
They're not party. I don't know where they party. I don't know what they do, but I know that
I never get the invite.
Yeah, they don't. They're probably doing
surprisingly,
something.
They always cooler. Forget to hit me up.
They never hit me up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's a bunch of like distance runners. Yeah.
That's actually a really good point though, because like when I was at Worlds last year or whatever, not a sprinter in sight.
Yeah. Where do they
only go? Distance runners.
They would not, why would they go to the Wild Duck? Why do we go to the Wild Duck?
I think didn't the Wild Duck close down now too? I think they're all closed. So now I like really don't know where people are going to go.
No,
we just have to ask Sydney, I guess.
We come full circle to just going. I'm gonna DM her after this episode and be like, girl, where are you going out after USA's this year?
Exactly. Oh, that's such a good question.
That's my goal actually for USA's, to get invited to like the cool people I'll go.
Where the cool sprinters are. Yeah. Oh my god.
I feel like you have the best in out of us three, so
I agree. Yeah,
I'll shoot my shot.
I don't know. Okay, well, again, so many tangents. How is it already 2:30? Also, we've already spent like 30 minutes
talking about nothing.
Sorry.
No, I feel like people like this. This is why people like my podcast. It's all over the place. Okay, I will say San Diego misses you. I feel like you've been. How long have you been in Flag? It's kind of a while now.
A year.
We moved here in March. Now it's May. So like, year and a month.
I would say you guys probably miss San Diego, but I would be wrong because you guys are both thriving in Flag. So I can't even say that.
I miss seeing, like, it was fun having you in San Diego, but I don't miss San Diego because it was very isolating, in my opinion.
We were there in a really hard time, like during the pandemic, and then the year after it. It was just like, it was so hard, but I miss, like, obviously the weather and the beach and, like...
The people that we did know.
Oh, yeah, my friends. But, yeah, no, Flag, I think, is just more... It's easier to be a good runner here, if it makes sense.
I think, like, it's easier to, like, make friends here a
like
little bit.
Everyone, all of our friends here are professional runners doing the same thing, like, right. Long running on the weekend, working out Tuesday and Friday. Like, it's so, we're all on the same schedule, and so it makes it really easy to, like, hang out. And then we also hang out when we run. Like, that's our social time, is going on a run and talking and, like, connecting with people, you know? So it's just, and you're at 7,000 feet. Like,
oh my God.
I cannot explain how good it feels to come down to sea level and race. Like,
right. It does.
It's bad. Like, I can't ever go back now to training at sea level. Like,
why? Because you just think you have so many gains from training, like, at 7,000? Yeah.
I think it's just like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I respond really well to altitude and, like, just the feeling of, like, racing is never easy. It's always going to hurt, but, like, it just hurts less, you know, when you go down.
Let's rephrase this. So when you're training up at altitude, it hurts so bad.
Oh, yeah, that
and too. You gaslight yourself. You're like, I'm not in good shape. These workouts are so hard. And, like, so it's like that. So you feel really bad all the time up at altitude. So then when you go down, it feels easier. So basically you're just gaslighting yourself. When you're, or you're just like, never, you never feel good, and then you can finally go feel good. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of sick, but
I feel like that's hard to gain confidence though, because if you feel bad all the time pretty much, it's like, how do you keep that confidence if you're humbled every day by not being able to breathe?
I think you just have to remember perspective.
Yeah, perspective. Just, like, no, it's going to, I don't know, it's going to be worth it. Or, like, I also feel like I think the reason I do well at altitude is because I'm not one of those people that, like, I never hammer a run. Like, you could not find me breaking 7:30 on a run.
Right.
Like, I'm not really going to go faster than that. And I think that that's really actually good for me, that training at 7,000 feet. Like, you're not going to go...
I'm not gonna put myself in a hole.
Yeah, you're not pushing your easy. So I really do, like, I think recover on the recovery days and then go hard on the workout days. And
And then you have to believe in the altitude conversion, I feel like, as well. Like, I feel like you do have to, like, finish a workout and be like, oh my gosh, like, I actually ran, like, this time, if you convert it.
Yeah.
Which not everyone's into that, but I'm into that. I'm like, yeah,
I'm here for it.
Nikki's face like this.
Yeah. Like, you know, you gotta do that.
And then, yeah, with Scout, with our dog too, it's really nice being here. Like, she was just so hot.
You know how it is with the dog parks too. It's
I know how that is. But I'm also not a professional runner, so I can spend all day at the dog park and get my dog all tired, you know. She doesn't need to be at 7,000 feet.
I know.
Like Flagstaff though. Like, and I definitely see why it's like a much better place to train compared to San Diego. Like, San Diego is beautiful weather. Like, you would think that it would be like a very ideal place to train, but I think due to how big it is, and it does get like pretty hot and it's really expensive. I just feel like there's a lot of reasons why it's not the best place to train. And there's just like not that many public tracks and there's not that many trails to run on either. That aren't like absurdly hilly and absurdly hot in the day. I feel like there's just like a lot of cons to San Diego, but if you're not a professional runner and you're just a podcaster like me, it's a great place.
It's paradise.
Oh my gosh, your life looks so beautiful every time I like watch your stories. I'm like, this is what San Diego could have been like, right?
What could have been
Well, when you guys retire, you can come back if you feel better.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The one downside to Flagstaff is that you kind of have to run to socialize, though.
Well, yeah, no, I definitely agree with that, like, because I don't think I could be in Flagstaff other than if I was, like, really training, because...
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, it makes me feel really bad about myself, because everyone I know there is a runner, so if I wasn't running, then I would be like, wow, I suck. Even when I was there, like, when I was triathlon training in 2020, like, I just felt bad about myself because I was just in such worse shape than all the pro runners around me, where I was like, wow, I'm, like, still suck. It's a motivating environment.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a real thing, though, because my first 6 months in Flagstaff, I was working from home. And so Nikki would come back from practice, like, happy as a bird, like, getting their social needs met. And I've been, like, locked in this apartment. I'm, like, you know, running by myself.
Working from home.
I hated it. It was so miserable. And so I'm, like, truly, like, I do think you have to kind of be doing the same thing as, you know, so you could have community and everything. So,
basically, you have to be a professional runner, because if you're not, then you're
Emma's like, I'm gonna start running because I need friends.
I'm like, I have to become a professional runner to get my social media met. So that's the journey.
The sacrifices that you make to have a social life is just...
I know. That's actually literally what happened.
Crazy though. Emma would like work all week, go for like maybe like 4 mile runs here and there, and then on Saturday, like the weekend, like the long run Saturday, would just come and run 14 miles with us.
Oh, I would drop them. I would drop them.
Fresh.
Yeah, because that was fresh. They would come from their Friday night workout, and I'd show up Saturday morning. I would drop them. I'd push the pace. Like, it was so fun.
One stepping.
Yeah, they're like, can we like slow down? I'm like, nope. No. This is my workout for the weekend. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, it's good to be on the same schedule now. Yeah.
I'm like jealous of that. I wish I could just pop in. I'm like way too out of the elite running world where I can't even hang on for a warm up. So that's like honestly my goal though, is to be able to run with anyone at any point. Like, whenever I want to. Like, once I can run, like, 7:30 pace somewhat comfortably, I will feel so good about myself. But it's just going to take me a while to get there, you know? We had some hiccups along the way in the last build-up, so. I hurt my back bad.
I know!
In the winter. In the winter is not good.
Were you? You were, you were almost 3 months into your build-up, and then that happened.
Yeah, right? I know. I went way too hard too quickly. Because I think I'm just insane. And also, I don't have a coach to tell me to stop.
It's hard.
And I have all the time in the world, considering that it's my job-ish. So that I just, like, went way too hard hurt my back. Basically broke my back, kind of. But back now, but we're back at square one. And one day I'll get back to 7:30 pace, being easy. But
I think you will.
You will.
It's a journey, but you will.
Yeah, you're talented.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's so real, though. I hurt my piriformis in my butt last summer because I also came back too fast. I was, like, trying to jump in, like, workouts with people. It was so stupid. And I couldn't walk for, like, a while. It was sad. Sad girl.
Injuries are hard.
Yeah, injuries suck.
If I ever get injured, I'm leaving Flagstaff and going to San Diego.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, being injured there sounds, like, bad, too, because when everyone else is running and then... I feel like the cross-training facilities there, well, you have NAU, which I feel like is nice, because they have, like, a super nice pool, whatever, but, like, the other pools available, I feel like, are just not that great.
No, like,
so I feel like, yeah.
It would be hard to, it is hard to be here when you're, like, not running with people, I will absolutely say that.
Yeah.
So sad.
So do you have a job, Emma, or did you just decide to stop and just start running?
No, I'll give you a tease. So basically, I had my big girl job, and then you're going to die. But basically, my company that I was working for shut down because one of the board members, allegedly, of course, got investigated by the FBI for laundering money in L.A., and it was like a PR firm. And so basically all his other board members quit and
resigned.
The company dissolved and I lost my job. Allegedly, I think the case is ongoing, of course. So so that happened like literally last June. And so then like, I was just like, oh my gosh, my world is crashing down. And then I went to USA like the next week to watch Nikki run. And so I'm going through this like life crisis basically. And I'm watching all these steeplechasers and I'm like, I can do that. I couldn't at the time, but I was just like, okay, like I'm back around running. Like, oh my God, you know, I haven't done this in like a year. I'm feeling really lost. So yeah, I just kind of like decided to train again and kind of pick a goal because I don't know if you like with mental health and you're like a young adult, you're figuring out your like career, your work life and everything. I was just very, very lost and very depressed. So I was like, okay, like I'll lean into running while I apply for jobs and everything. And then the job market was super, super bad. And so then I worked on the Pride 5K and then I applied for more jobs. And then fortunately in February, I started working part-time with this really lovely person named Amy here in Flagstaff. She owns her own like media company. And so, yeah, now I do, like, really random, like, media management, like, a lot of social media management online part-time. So Amy's wonderful, and it's the most random clients, like this like charcuterie board like business. Yeah,
that
and
you're like doing social media for.
Yeah, and then this like diabetic pajama company. It's like so random.
And Emma's like, all right, how do I make content for this?
How do I make
what do you mean making TikToks?
Yeah. Like... Yeah. I had to like make like a charcuterie board video, and I had to like make TikTok and reels for that stuff. So
yeah, then we got to eat it. So
sorry, long story short, yes, I am sort of employed. And then I was just like, I have to full send my running because.
Yeah. So you're like, you part time social media work, part time Pride 5K, and then part time professional runner.
Professional.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. That's the tea about Emma's employment status. So it's been
I feel like you have a good balance though, because it's like you don't, I don't know, it's not very good to have all running all the time.
True.
So it's nice to have something else to focus on. So
oh yeah, it's good to mix it up with charcuterie board stuff and running content. Oh yeah, it's a vibe. Yeah, it's been interesting.
Yeah.
And Nikki, you got a new coach. I mean, this is all like old news, but I just feel like you haven't been on my podcast in a while. So do you want to?
Oh, yeah.
It's your time to shine. You can tell us about your five-step journey.
My journey. Yeah. We moved in March from San Diego to here. And yeah, I joined, I started being coached by Mike Smith, who's the NAU coach, and joined Rachel and Ellie. Out here, and they're like 5k 10k runners, so I'm definitely like the speedy one in the group, but I really like it because they just make me stronger with the threshold stuff, and then on Fridays I get to drop them, so I kind of get like got to both worlds. Like on Tuesdays they drop me, and then Fridays I you know
I'm done.
Yeah. No, it's great though. And like yeah, I signed with, I don't know if we've talked since I've signed with Lululemon, but
no.
June of last year, I was basically at the start of 2022 was figuring out contract stuff, and then really, really, really wanted to be with Lululemon, but we kind of had to like, there was just a few months there of like finalizing everything, and so I finally like officially signed with them in June of last year, kind of the day before USA's. Which was kind of fun, but stressful.
It was a crazy few weeks. It was like the week I lost my job, and then Nikki officially got their job.
Yeah.
And then you like went to USA's, and it was the craziest.
It was like, I was unemployed trying to find a sponsor, but Emma had a job, and then Emma lost her job, and like I finally signed. So it was, but it all works out, and you know, we're a team, and and then pretty much, we also put on the Pride 5K last October here in Flagstaff, which was awesome. And so that was kind of like from June to October was us working on that. And I don't know. I feel like I feel like myself again, like on the track, and that's really exciting. Like, I feel like I finally have enough strength, just training with Mike and Rachel and Ellie, and then, you know, adding the altitude. I just have enough strength to like use my kick. And so that's been really fun to like have that come back. And I'm excited for, I guess, the rest of the season.
No, I feel like every time I have seen you race, I feel like you do look like, I don't even know if your old self is the right word, but it kind of reminds me of you in like high school and stuff where you just dust everyone. So I feel like, I don't know, it's probably the combination of you being happier in Flagstaff and just like the training and everything. And also like having a sponsor that's like stable and really supportive too, I feel like is important. So I feel like everything is just adding up. So I'm excited to see how like the rest of the year goes. So there is Worlds this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Budapest, Hungary.
Oh wait, I knew that. I'm so stupid. I knew this because I will be there.
What?
What?
I don't know how I forgot that. I just remembered I was going to Europe, but then I forgot that the reason that
I'm
going
to Europe for something.
Yeah. I was like, no, but I'm going with a bunch of like my Portland friends. We're all going together. So we're like starting in Rome, but then we're going to go to Budapest. Like we're going to have this giant villa thing. There's going to be like 25 people staying there, and then we're all going to go watch Worlds. So, hopefully you're there.
I'll try to be there too.
Yeah.
That's
so fun. Oh my god.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials, and of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
So what's the world standard?
I don't know. I have it from the mile, because you can now, they're doing, I don't know what the 15 is, might be 404 flat, so you have to be in the 403 zone. But I know if you break 422 in the mile, you also get it, and I ran 421 at Sir Walter last summer, so I have the standard, so.
Right.
But I'm not 100% sure
what the exact
is.
Yeah.
Do you need to get it? You already got it. If you got it last summer, it still counts?
Yeah. The window was open. Okay. Yeah.
Jeez, I like really am out of touch.
Well, yeah, we don't even know it.
So, I mean, this is the dumbest thing part about track. It's so hard to like follow, and like you're literally in the running world and you're like, well, I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And like, why would you know? Like,
exactly. Exactly. Okay, who do you think is going to be the biggest competition?
Oh, I mean, everyone. I think that's why I love the 1500, is because like I feel like you look at the 5k or 10k and it's kind of like it's going to be one of five people, you know, maybe six, I don't know, but like the 15, I'm like, it could be one of 12 people. Like if you make the 15 final at USA's, you could make the team. Like you're good enough to make the team. So I think it's, I don't know. I would say any given day it could be anyone, but obviously Sinclair's really good and she's won a US title before. And then Heather, you know.
I love Heather.
We love Heather, and you know, she's iconic. And then
I love Sinclair too, though. Sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, you have Josette, who's really strong and like could make it just really fast. Like I don't know. There's so many like.
Yeah, but who do you think is Emma's question?
probably those four, but
probably
then,
me.
You have collegiates who are like sharp and they're like can kick really well. Like I feel like when I made the team in 2019, like no one would have said me, but then I did, and like so I'm never gonna count anyone out, and like
totally,
yeah, that's kind of how I, but yeah, I mean those are like the big names. I just
yeah like, wait who like, is that Corey girl who was closing in on you at your last race,
right? Like I don't know,
she had a good kick by the way.
I'm not sure, but
she was there, yeah.
She was pumping, yeah.
Yeah, no, people, like, it could be anyone's, but then obviously you have to the standard. So I think everyone I just named has the standard. That's why I'm kind of like them, but.
Okay, I'll answer. So I think Nikki's going to win. I think Sinclair's going to take second.
Stop it. No, do it.
Here's what's going to happen. And then maybe, ooh, who's random? Like maybe like an Elise Cranny or something.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because then you also don't know who's running what. Like people are kind of secretive about if they're rightfully so. Like, it's a sport, you know, like what event they're gonna do. And like, so I don't know, but I'm just like, all I can do is focus on myself and be in the best shape. And I kind of like want to look far. I was kind of talking to Sinclair about this, but it's like, I want to look past USA. It's like, of course, it's so hard to make that team, and that's like such a goal and so important. But like, if that's your whole focus, it's like, I've been to a world championships and I've made a world final. And so now I'm like, I want to be, you know, in the top half of that world final. So it's like, I want to look kind of towards worlds. And then like, I don't know, like not put just totally zone focus in on I have to be top three at USA. It's like, look beyond that, because like, I don't know, I want to be competitive on the global stage.
Dream bigger.
That's the big goal.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you, I mean, rightfully so, that like USA is, it's like very competitive and very hard to make a team. So it makes sense as to like why you want to focus on it. But I also get it where it's like, you don't want to have too much focus on it, because then you'll get to worlds and kind of be like, it's like a happy to be there.
Just happy to be there. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, back in my running career, I feel like that's how I approached every single like national championship. I feel like I was almost like, I'm happy to be here. You know, it was never, I never took that next thing of like, being like, okay, now I have to perform on the scale. Like, it should not be like, woo, it doesn't matter how it goes, you know? I'm not saying that that's how you are, but that, I think I'm just a little bit too content with being there. No, I just want everyone to have a good time.
Yeah. It's a big deal to make it, though. I mean, to be fair, it is. It's a huge achievement, for sure.
I'll just say, like, I feel like that was in 2019. I was like, I want to make the team. Like, that was so, and then I did. So I feel like at the World Championships, I was genuinely just so happy to be there. So like, that was my journey in 2019. I'm just like, okay, I've been there, done that. Like, what's the next like goal? And so,
Oh my gosh.
I think it's hard too, because it's like, there's been so many years in between just with COVID and stuff, where I feel like it's like, you kind of just like have to actively, you know, reassess that mindset instead of doing that happy to be there.
So definitely.
Well, I'm also gonna be at USA, so I'm excited to watch that. I already booked my ticket to. So I'm like really tapped in the running world now. So
heck yeah.
I feel like I very like selectively tap in and out, you know?
But you should.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to be at USA's because like I feel like I know so many people running right now that I should just take advantage of it. And same with Worlds, like, or even Worlds last year when I went to Eugene, I feel like there's just not that many opportunities I'm going to get to see my friends race like that, so.
Totally.
And it's Eugene. It's, you know, our home turf.
The homeland.
Hopping, the wild duck. And Hayward that we didn't even run on.
Oh, like the spaceship.
I know.
The giant spaceship. I can't.
I'm so done. Okay,
how's life outside of running? If there is any.
Split. We have a dog.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We just went, we were California for the week.
We stayed with Nikki's family in Santa Cruz in between the races. That was fun. But there was some low points because Scout got skunked. Like, she got sprayed by a skunk. And
Did I see that on Instagram or something? And I laughed. I shouldn't laugh because it's probably
impulsive. It was really funny.
We got a divorce.
It was not
funny at the time. I'll tell the story. So, basically, we drive from LA to Santa Cruz. It's like 5 or 6 hours. Nikki leaves their sports bras, underwear, something in the hotel. We're 40 minutes out from the hotel. So we have to turn around and drive back, get the stuff. Then we start fighting because Nikki's we just like kind of start getting an argument. So
getting divorced
at the beginning. So this is like the afternoon, right? We drive all the way to Santa Cruz. We get there, have a beautiful family dinner at Nikki's grandma's house. We're going to stay the night at Nikki's grandma's house. So it's like 10 p.m. We've had a long day. We're with our German shepherd who just like hasn't been exercised.
We also went to the beach. Like before dinner, and Scout drank so much ocean water.
He drank the ocean, throws up at grandma's.
But then drank so much. Like, basically, we're like in the room, we have to keep taking her to the bathroom because she has to pee.
And I'm like, night, 11 p.m. now.
And I'm like, she's God, peed. Like, you've peed so much. So I finally just like opened the
door. No, not yet. It's like almost midnight at this point. Nikki and I are like at our wits end, being like, it's your turn to take her out. No, it's your turn. So then Nikki, I'm like, this is your grandma's house. You need to do it.
So I open the door and like I turn around to grab her leash, but she like ran out. So I'm like, whatever, I'll get her leash. And then all of a sudden she's just gone. Like she just like took off. And I was like, okay, well, she's gone.
And Nikki calmly says, turns to me and is like, she's gone. And then you walk out.
And I walk outside. And all of a sudden I just like I kind of hear something. And then I just like see her because it's like pitch black. And she's like blinking. Like she's like kind of like shaking her face, like blinking. And I'm like, what do you do? And then this like the most horrid smell like hits me in the face. And I'm like, oh my God. Like she got sprayed in the skunk like straight to the face, like straight to the dome. And it was so bad. And then the whole house, like,
no. Smelling. We're staying in Nikki's grandma's room, bedroom, like, bedroom that their grandma sleeps in on the weekends, like, when they're not at their other home. Like, Gal comes sprinting in, Nikki yeah, comes into in. The bedroom. But, fresh skunk. It stinks up the room immediately.
So we get her outside. And,
like... Nikki's like, I don't know if you've seen someone who's like so angry that you can't even like talk to them, but Nikki was like unavailable, like completely.
I'm so over it.
And talk about 13th reason, that would be my 14th reason. Like, I'm sorry. Well, how do you even go about dealing with that? Like, what do you, water, like wash her off with a hose? That's not gonna work.
Oh, it was such a mess.
You know what? Fight or flight. Nikki just chose flight, takes the dog and just is like, I'm leaving.
We're going on a walk.
We're going on a walk. Which I'm like, that's definitely not the procedure for a skunk spray. So Nikki just leaves with Scout. I have to chase them down the road. I'm like, you need to come back. We need to like bathe her. And Nikki's like, I'm not doing that at my grandma's house. Like, I'm not doing that to my grandma's bathroom. I'm like, we don't have a choice. Like... Anyway, so we have to like rinse her off in your grandma's shower, and you were just again. Nikki's emotionally unavailable this entire time. Like,
is your grandma awake?
No.
Thank God, no.
So my grandma stayed. Like, yeah, she only her house is like right on the coast. It's incredible, but yeah, she's only there on like the weekend. So yeah, we were. Yeah, so
your aunt and uncle were there,
but my aunt and uncle were staying.
So Nikki,
so we're also trying to be really quiet.
No. Nikki was trying to be really quiet. Nikki's like, Emma, like, don't talk. I don't want to wake them up. Yeah. Nikki's like terrified. I'm gonna like involve other people in our situation at midnight. I'm gonna divorce you. I'm like, I can't deal with that. So we bathed her, used human shampoo, and then we just put a bunch of like. What is it? Vinegar, bowls of vinegar around the room to like soak up the smell. So that was our day.
But we opened the window and just aired it out. But like by the end of the week, apparently it like the smell
it
had
aired out. But
yeah,
we took more time to heal in our relationship.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
So anyway,
we survived.
We sort of survived, yeah. It was a tense week.
Gal, like, still kind of, like, smells like skunk, and I just, like, am triggered.
It's a triggering, Oh, my god.
I'm sorry to bring it up and, like, you know, bring up the memory. Yeah. You guys probably have PTSD.
No, you did. Your question was literally, how is life outside of wrestling?
Oh, yeah, I forgot how we got
skunk trauma. So that wasn't on you.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm glad that that's settled, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so that happened. That was difficult in life.
Okay, you know what? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's what they
said. Exactly. That's so true.
Do you guys feel stronger after that?
Yeah. I'm like, who are you? It's weird when you see your partner in fight or flight, though. Anyway, but yeah, I think we're doing better now. Scout is doing okay.
Yeah.
And we're back at home. Anyway.
I thought it would maybe deter. So Scout loves squirrels or like of course she chased a skunk. She was like chasing cats, like, squirrels, what anything. Yeah. So I thought it would maybe deter her from like doing that because like, yeah, you chase something and it like sprayed you in the face. Like,
yeah.
And no, hasn't deterred her at all. She's obsessed with squirrels and
still. Yeah.
Well, crossing the fingers, no more skunks.
Yeah, there's no skunks in Flagstaff.
Thank God there's no skunks in Flagstaff.
I don't think I've really ever even seen a skunk in real life.
Me either.
I also hope not, because I feel they're like I would be the type of person that would like get sprayed by a skunk.
You have to like, okay, you have to like attack it for it to, it has to feel threatened to spray you.
Yeah, but look at me. They might
avoid skunks at all costs.
Yeah, no, skunks, they're afraid of me.
Don't want the risk. It smelled so bad. It smelled like gasoline. Oh, it was so like bad. It was so pungent. I was like, who made this animal? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
What is the purpose of the skunk?
I don't know.
It's like a, it's their defense mechanism. It's like a porcupine.
I'm sad that they're nocturnal, because they're definitely nocturnal. Why else was it wandering around?
Yeah, they're, yeah.
That was the other thing, is your grandma was like, oh yeah, that skunk family has lived under our porch for a family. Long time. It's a family of skunks. I'm just like,
woke them all up.
Yeah. So that was... I have no idea what the skunk's purpose is, though.
No, I'm not sure. In the ecosystem, not sure where they fall.
I don't very much, though.
I have, like, so much to do after this episode. I have to DM Cindy McLaughlin, researchers about skunks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was so just, yeah.
Anyway. So, any other fun things that you guys are getting up to outside of getting chased by skunks? You guys are, yeah, I'm sure you're working on the Pride 5K now again soon.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
We're getting started. I mean, what's been going on with us? I mean, you've been racing. I've been training. Honestly, just like getting along with people on Flagstaff. I feel like that's been.
Oh, I've been making bread.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What kind?
Sourdough.
Oh my god, yeah, you're gonna die. Literally, we randomly went to Brandon's house. Like,
yeah.
We went to this person's house in December for dinner. Yeah. Matt Lano's partner, he's lovely.
Yeah.
And I did not know what I was walking into with this dinner, but apparently it was a sourdough bread making, like, activity. And it was with Rachel and you, and I had no idea that Nikki had any interest. I had no idea that you were interested in sourdough. When I say that we have not had a fresh, like, Nikki has made a fresh sourdough loaf every single week since the beginning of January. I haven't tasted store-bought bread. It's the most random thing. I had no idea that that was coming.
Really good.
They're so good at making it, though.
It's, how long is it? I feel like you have to have the starter, don't you? Like, doesn't it take a while?
That's what the dinner party was for, to get the starter.
Yeah.
You have to keep ripping apart the starter and shit. Yeah. What even is sourdough starter? Is it like a
it's a living like bacteria, and you have to feed it. And but it makes it's like what makes the bread expand, I think. Yeah. But you can't make starter. You have to get it from someone. So like there's sourdough in like Italy that's like the starter has been passed down for, like, generations, like hundreds of years. So well, I'm like
the starter.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I have to add that too to my research.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's such a process. But you do it every week.
Yeah, every Sunday.
It's so beautiful. The bread does taste really good though.
I love sourdough. I had some for lunch, but it was bought at Mr. Trader Joe's place.
Yeah. So
probably not as good as yours.
Well, maybe you should bring
ML. I'll give you some starter.
Yeah, bring me some starter.
Yeah.
Well, okay, wait, what meets are you guys going to other than USA's? Well, I probably won't be at any of them. I'm sad. I don't think you're not going to be at the On Running one this weekend in LA.
Yeah, no.
I don't.
Right before this, we're like, I might. No, I don't even know. We're debating. I might go pace it the 5K.
Pull up.
It would be a really last minute thing. So right before the Zoom call, we're like frantically searching for flights, but. We'll see. That's still like very TBD.
Yeah, we do.
But no, I'm just gonna race Portland June 2nd, and I'm gonna go over to Europe at the beginning of June and do a couple races over there before USA's. But yeah, if you're going to Portland, you'll see Emma.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't. I mean, people were telling me you're going to the Portland Track Festival.
Yeah. The one that's the 2nd.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, yeah, people were telling me to go. I don't have any travel plans in June yet, so that could be one that I go to, because that's probably the only other track meet I would go to, besides for USA's, and the one this week.
There's not a lot of meets in June.
Yeah, it's
in the U.S.
kind of barren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, PTF, yeah. It sounds like that's the move.
Yeah. You should come to Flag though.
I know, I need to. And I feel like the summers are nice. Oh, let me get in a little bit better running shape so I can at least like hang maybe a little bit, like possibly. And then
we could just come chill. I mean, Kelly's coming to visit me
in May.
Yeah,
Memorial Day. It's literally May. Oh my God. In like a few weeks.
What's the holiday in May?
Memorial Day?
Is it? What's the holiday?
It's Memorial Day.
Whatever that weekend. Is it?
Oh my God.
I want to say Labor Day, but that's
not. No, it's Memorial Day, I think.
Memorial Day. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So Kelly's coming to visit. That's cute.
Yeah. You should come.
I just saw Kelly. Because I was in Portland, like, 2 weeks ago, so.
Oh, my God.
It'd be a little Oregon reunion.
Yeah, that'd be fun, yeah.
Is she staying with you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Kelly's really making the trips.
Kelly's really, yeah. You know those friends that just, like, stay in touch and, like, make an
effort? I think we've talked about this. So, Kelly, I kind of forgot that we were on the podcast right now. Kelly was
our teammate.
Yeah, teammate. You guys didn't live together ever, did you?
No, never. Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly was my roommate for a couple of years, but yeah, she was on the Oregon team with us. But she's the best. And she's one of those people that is so good at keeping in touch because I am not the best at keeping in touch. So yeah, Kelly's the person that'll just like call you randomly and then you catch up for like an hour. And she's so good about it.
The best.
She's such an icon for doing that. She's lovely.
She's an inspiration for me to be better at that.
She is. She's so good at it. I love that. That's a shame.
Instead, I just have my friends on my podcast, and that's how I catch up with them.
Yeah,
I love that. That's also a really good way of doing it. Yeah. No, I love it.
Okay. Well, we already spent an hour on talking about skunks and a little bit of running sprinkled in there. There's like a couple like Well, I kind of want to do, like, a couples thing where it's, like, you guys, like, fight a little bit. Maybe not fight. It's not the right word. Okay, I have a question. Who's more competitive?
Me. I would say Nikki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, like, in everything or just, like?
No. It depends. On the track, as an athlete, I think Nikki is more competitive.
Okay, but, like, board games, Emma.
Yeah, no, I get emotionally involved in a way that I haven't seen you get emotionally involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I throw fits. Okay. Yeah.
Who would win in a hot dog eating contest?
Oh, my God.
I think you.
Yeah. I think I would, too. Yeah.
Okay. I've never done one of those, but it sounds like a little bit traumatizing to have to do that. Or, like, any sort of eating contest doesn't sound very enjoyable.
No, it would be difficult, but I would win. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to dip it in water. You dip the bun in water, and then you put it in your mouth, and then you like go.
That with is the hot dog. God,
she already has a whole plan.
Yeah.
So okay. What's a perfect date night for you both?
Ooh. I think for Nikki, you like when we go out to dinner. And maybe dress kind of cute. Am I right about this?
Yeah.
So you like a nice dinner and dressing cute and then maybe getting like a treat afterwards, like ice cream or something. Is that correct?
That sounds great. Yeah.
A treat. A little sweet treat after.
Yeah.
A sweet treat.
Yeah.
Emma, you would want to watch a movie and like DoorDash. Like stay in.
Yeah.
Homebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
And order a sweet treat.
Yeah.
Order a sweet treat. Yeah.
DoorDash twice. One for the meal and one for the sweet treat.
Yeah.
Get the crumble.
Oh, yeah. The crumble's good. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of find crumble cookies a little bit overrated, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like I don't have the app or anything. I'm not like a crumble stan, but like, I love a good cookie.
Yeah. You do like, you do like cookies. I think Nikki likes cookies more than me, but I agree. Crumble can be it depends on the flavor, and they're also really big. So,
yeah. I just feel like there was a point in time, I don't know what year it was, but TikTok, all I was getting on my feed was, these are the crumble cookies of the week. And I was like, I really couldn't care less. How about that? Not interested in Smash.
Yeah, their graphics. I remember that. Like the flavors. That's so funny. Where did that go? I never get that anymore.
See, I'm not a crumble cookie hater, though I do sound like one. Like I will eat one if it's given to me, but I have never gone out of my way to go get any. But
yeah.
Now I feel that.
There's not a good like Flagstaff's too small. Like it's, there is a crumble in Flagstaff and there's not really another, like sad to say the best cookie in Flagstaff is probably
right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A crumble. Well, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I need to branch out more.
But... in terms of like a cookie place.
No, like if I'm in a big city, like I'm not going to crumble.
Yeah. What's a, like, what are some good restaurants around Flag?
We love, Foray for brunch.
For brunch.
We like Karma, like sushi.
Karma sushi. Where's the other one?
Lounge is good. Oh, Shift. We love Shift.
Shift has these, they're pickled French fries.
Yeah.
I like those. Yeah, definitely go to Shift if you come to Flagstaff. It's really yummy.
There's a lot of, like, tourist homes good, like, brunch. There's a lot of good brunch places.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the only ones I remember are Tourist Home and what is it, Macy's Cafe or something?
Yeah,
just some like coffee shop.
No,
I don't remember any of the other places. But people, I feel like people always want to like Flagstaff recommendations.
Yeah,
yeah. We also have Pizza Glotta for pizza and Fat Olives for pizza too.
Fat Olives is good. Yeah,
yeah. There's some good places.
Yeah, I'm not mad at them. I like Shift.
Mm-hmm. Flagstaff is cute though. I like Flagstaff as a city. It's a lot. I don't know. It's a lot smaller than San Diego. San Diego is so overwhelming. So it's like nice to be in like a little mountain town, you know? And the air is like nice and crisp.
Oh, yeah. No, that's well said.
Oh, yeah.
It's its own vibe for sure. But it's cute.
Yeah.
It has like enough options, but not so many that overwhelms you, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Not much.
Okay. Team Haley or Selena?
Is that even a question?
I think I'm just like anti Justin.
Oh. Really? Oh, that's like a hot take.
Like wow. I think that like both of those women, like I just, it's like I don't believe in comparing women ever. I love Selena Gomez though, like I love her. I think Hailey Bieber is like a gorgeous person, but I think Justin, I'm just like, what are you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Who's the real villain?
I think it's Justin. I think I would love to hear Justin be a little more respectful about these people.
You should sounds write like him a strongly worded letter.
I absolutely would. Yeah. I absolutely would. Wait, who are you?
Selena,
yeah. She is very cool.
I don't really know that many Team Haleys. Because we all grew up with Selena and Justin. Like, they were, like, the couple of the century, I feel like. And I was like, I just...
Selena is...
Oh, well, okay, as far as to end up with Justin, I don't... Yeah, neither, but, like...
Neither, yeah.
I just feel like... Haley's kind of a mean girl, and I don't really root for the mean girls.
Well, I think that we just, like, I just don't know them personally, but Justin is the villain here. That much I know. But I love Selena Gomez. Like, she's so, I mean, we watch on Wizards of Waverly Place, like, yeah, her music like is so good. Like, she's so, like, and I will say it's, like, a Nepo baby versus, like, Selena Gomez, if you're comparing the two, like, Haley versus Selena. So I will say it's, like, it's a lot easier to root for Selena because she's so, like, worked so hard and she's really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys watched her documentary?
Yes, yeah. We did. My Mind and Me. Yeah.
It was really sad, honestly. Like, watching, I was like, oh, it's kind of depressing.
She seemed really overwhelmed and not well. And I'm sorry about that. Sounds like a really tough career to be in. And then, like, the medical stuff.
Mental note, do not become a pop star.
Yeah. I know. Not good for your mental health at all.
No.
Okay. What are each other's icks about each other?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. I feel like I know yours about me. I don't think I have one for you.
Yes, you do.
I know what yours are for me, though. I don't know. Okay, so yours about me. Let's hear them.
Well, I think our biggest conflicts usually center around, like, how we handle conflict.
Oh. And I don't think that's an ick, though.
I get the ick.
You would say, like, when I chew with my mouth.
Oh, like, those kind of, okay, not, like, value icks. Okay, yeah.
I must think you're too serious. Oh,
yeah, we don't need to go into, like, what we value and whatever.
Okay, yeah. So Nikki sometimes chews with her mouth open a little bit. And I don't like hearing that sound. I would rather eat completely alone than hear anyone breathe or chew or anything. So.
Oh, okay, I have an egg. When you drive, Emma always drives right in the person's blind spot. Like, so if they were to, like, swerve in our lanes, like, would be their fault because, like, they're coming into us. But, like, I'm like, I just don't trust others. Not that I don't trust you.
That stresses me out.
Yeah, I'm like, either pass or slow down. Like don't drive in where they can't see us. So yeah, that stresses me out. I don't know. That's Nick. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I use my horn, though, if they do turn into me. Yeah.
The type of person to just stay in between two trucks. Like, yeah. When there's two trucks beside you, you're just happily driving in the middle.
Yeah, that's...
Just happy to be there.
I'm that's like, oh my God. Sketch. Yeah, I don't think I do that. I try not to. But yeah, you don't really like my driving sometimes, which is perfect. That's fine. I'm so done. What else? I mean, I'm definitely... I think sometimes... You when leave I your clean. Stuff.
Yeah, because around. I knew it was gonna be some cleaning.
Yeah, there's cleaning is I think.
I'm not neat, and Emma's really tidy, and so.
Nikki, yeah. Like your workout backpack is right there next to the door, and that's not where it goes. So, I guess that's a Nick. Do you have another one for me?
No. I have another driving.
Driving.
I know, that's all I can think about.
Oh my God.
You know how the right lane is for like you only are in the left lane when you're passing someone and then you get back into the right lane. Emma will just, our whole road trip, chill in the left lane. I'm like, no, you have to get over. But
like when people speed up and they're like coming behind you, you just don't move?
No, I speed up. I'm very concerned.
No, Emma like speeds up, but I'm like, like, it's just for passing. I don't think you know that it's just for passing.
I absolutely do know that. It's a choice.
Okay. So that's my it.
Okay.
Another stressful thing where it's like, you just don't know who's going to come up behind you.
Yeah.
You just live life on the edge, I guess, when you're driving.
I'll be more aware of that in the future.
Yeah, I'll be more aware of my backpack on the floor, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Deal.
Like couples therapy.
Yeah, that's compromise.
This is my new career. I'm just going to become a couples therapist.
You'd be good at it.
What if you just like asked them and we just like broke up?
Just like
like on the pod.
Yeah.
You just have a huge fight and someone storms off.
Yeah. Just
like... I'd post it and clickbait it immediately. And also post a video version of it happening.
You
I don't even care about the crusty.
That would be really bad.
Oh, I think that would be like the most dramatic thing that's ever happened on this podcast. Not that anything has dramatically ever happened, but there's always time for something to happen, you know?
Okay, wait, I thought of another.
Yes.
Okay, sometimes Emma will have dreams, like, about me. Like, I'll do something mean to her in her dream, and then wake up in the morning and then be mad at me. And I have to apologize for what I did in the dream. And I feel like I'm like, but that wasn't me. That was, like, your dream version of me.
Dreams are rooted in deep truths. So, obviously... there's something you must have done.
And then Emma.
But isn't it your deep truth? Like, why would it be? Why would that have to do with
it? My fault?
Because you've hurt my feelings. I don't know. I do think it's really healthy, though, that I do express my feelings to you, and it's not like I'm harboring resentment towards you. So, like, if I do feel some type of way, you're like the first to know about it.
Yeah, let me talk about it, so it's fine.
So I'm that it must be inconvenient that your partner has feelings sometimes.
Yeah, already grabbing feelings.
And how now starts the fight? All right.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, bring it on.
Okay, that's my. I don't have any more.
Okay. Someone asked, "Is Emma Abrahamson a rat or a frog?"
Oh God, yeah, yeah. This is.
That's amazing. Okay, so there's this little game we play that you're, the whole world is just made up of either rats or frogs. Like, I'm a rat, and then Emma Gee is a frog. And, I don't know, what do you think Emma is? I think...
I can't tell. I don't think it's very
perfect. Is it, like, appearance, or is it, like, personality?
Only appearance.
It's appearance-based. Hannah and Nikki play this game a lot, and the rest of
us... Well, yeah, Hannah was the person that asked it, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so they just, like, randomly started talking about it one day.
It's about, like, if you have, like, big, you know, big, beautiful eyes, it's, like, frog... It's more frog-like.
It's, like
I have, like, a sharp nose, like, jawline, so it's, like, frog. Or rat. I don't know.
I'm a hybrid. I'm a
wrong. Brought it up. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like No, it's just like a funny.
You could give an example, maybe, of people you know.
Ellen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would love an example. Some examples.
Yeah.
Okay. How about name someone on the count of three? We say rat or frog. Someone that we all know.
Well, how about you just share Ellie and Hannah's because
I shared. Okay, Ellie's a rat. Hannah's a frog.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
If you need a really good example,
okay, go on.
Nathan Ritzenheim is a rat.
Okay,
like if you just you gotta it's just about the features,
right? Okay.
I'm trying to think of like someone. Grant Fisher, what is he?
I think frog.
Maybe a frog. Yeah,
I would say frog as well.
You could do Kelly. You guys both know Kelly.
Kelly's a rat.
Kelly's a rat.
Okay. You can. It's just like, yeah, and it's also like neither of them are flattering, so it's not like you want to be one or the other, you know?
Yeah,
totally.
Anyways,
well, now I keep looking at myself in the camera. I'm like, am I a rat or a frog?
I think you're a frog. What do you think?
I don't like.
I could be rat. Like if it was personality based, I feel like you'd be rat for sure.
You're ratty rat.
I'd be a rat.
Sound off in the comments. What's Emma?
Yeah, in the comments of my podcast that don't exist, leave a review saying I'm a frat or frat. I'm a rat or a frog. I'm a frat.
Maybe you're a frat. You're a mix.
Yeah. Some people I feel like are a mix. If that's like the two options.
Now it's frat. The more I look at you, yeah.
Rat?
I don't think rat. If it's hard, I'm going to have to text Anna.
I think it's just bad in terms of this game because I think what has happened is like Hannah and Nikki like know this game. They know what they're talking about. So they'll be like, shit, like they'll be like, "You rat," and like, but the way they say it is so like, "Rat,
you're a rat."
Yeah, like it doesn't sound like.
Well, it's yeah, if you call someone a rat, because there's like already other meaning for rat. If you're like, "You're a rat," but if like someone says you're a frog, no one's really gonna like think about it, you know?
They're like, "What does that mean?" So I do.
I would
think
do the same thing. Like if I had an inside joke with someone and we were with another person, and I would say, "You're a rat."
Yeah,
you're like, okay.
Yeah, so I think the delivery,
you.
Delivery is everything in this game for sure.
Yeah.
Well, now people know more context if they made it to this point in the episode, you know.
Yeah,
if you hear Nikki or Emma saying frog or rat, now you know why. So
yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have two more questions. Don't worry, we're almost done. Someone asked, advice to overcome worrying about what people think/say about you.
Oh my god.
For example, someone calls you a rat to your face, like, what do you...
Like, you're dead to me.
I just feel like I've spent so much energy in my life, like, caring about what people think, and I feel like I've just finally, like, whether I'm just more grown up or, like, I've experienced, like, so much hate that I'm just like I genuinely like don't care anymore, like I've like built up a tolerance, and it's like why, like I don't know, I just want to stop like spending energy on like I don't know caring people to I think
what I will say is that I think it's important to honor that it's very normal and natural to like want people's approval, because getting approval is a sign that you're a part of a community, and being in a community feels safer. So I don't think you'll ever erase that part of yourself that like needs to belong.
Yeah.
So I think that's really healthy and normal. I do think that there is kind of like a sense of like, I grew up in a family with like 5 kids. So I feel like I learned pretty quickly that like life is chaotic and I can't control other people's feelings like based on my actions all the time. Sometimes my mom would be mad because one of my other siblings messed up, right? So I feel like for me, I'm like, I don't always like care per se what people think, because I'm like, their experience in life right now probably doesn't have a lot to do with like what I'm doing. So I feel like it's just kind of that logical understanding of like, I think people think a lot less about me than I sometimes might think, and that feels like really safe and healthy and normal, because I'm just like, no one really really cares at the end of the day about what I'm doing. I care the most out of anyone, and so
yeah,
I feel like you just trust that most people are probably just kind of thinking about themselves and what matters to them, and I like that. I kind of like knowing that, because
yeah
I think it would be crazy to, or I think it would drive me crazy to like have to answer to everyone's opinion about
what I'm doing.
So. Yeah. 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 You're never going to please everyone.
No, you literally can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like when I turned 25, too, I feel like my frontal lobe developed, and then I really stopped caring. Like, I've already kind of, like, really cared that much throughout my whole life, because I'm like, I'm gonna do me, you know? But
yeah,
then my frontal lobe developed. Something in my little noggin clicked, and I was like, I really don't care. And also, I feel like I read this book when I was in college called The Four Agreements, and one of them is, like, I don't know. It basically was explaining how what people say or, like, how people act is a projection of how they're feeling on the inside.
Yeah,
something like that, like something along those lines. So I feel like when I read that book too, it like really opened my eyes, being like the way that people act, or like if they say something, I don't know, one of their strong opinions onto you, whatever. I don't know. It's just from their own perspective and their own thoughts and their own little bubble. And it's kind of the same thing. Like everyone is so focused on themselves.
Yeah.
But it also comes with age, I think, too.
I agree.
And yeah, if someone is like being mean to you, or like, you know, like it's saying so much more about them than you. Yeah. It's like they are insecure and like sad with themselves, and it's
I do think it's interesting though, maybe especially for you too, because you guys found so much success like in running and like attention from running, if that makes sense, that like I'm sure it's hard when you're still growing up and developing and you're kind of associating like, oh, when I achieve and people really like me, like you're kind of like, it might be hard when you're a kid to kind of like, or as an adult, like unpacking that, like, oh, if I do something cool, then people will like me. And therefore, like, I want to seek people's approval. Absolutely, because that's so like tied. Like, I definitely have noticed that being around a lot of like professional runners who've experienced a lot of success. So I'm like, oh, you guys are just all so confident. Look at what you've achieved. But in reality, you're dealing with a lot of people who have connected like people pleasing and achievement. Like, they really have to care about what people think of them. Because that's, like, the association a little bit. I feel like that's something that I've noticed. So, what?
What I've noticed about you,
Nick. Like, you're not, like, you're insecure and not confident. But yeah. I'm just saying that's, like, a lived experience that I'm sure you have to challenge and process. Like, that's really hard to unwire, I'm sure.
I mean, I definitely think so, especially like now that I'm not really good at running anymore. Like, it's hard to like, I don't think worthy is the right word of just like being happy or whatever, but it's just like hard to, I guess, like, even though I guess in my career, you know, I'm successful, but I feel like unsuccessful all the time because I'm like not good at running anymore. And so that's like just something that I like deal with all the time. And it makes no sense, because I think leaving the running world has definitely helped me though, because I'm like, people don't care really at all.
Yeah.
So I think like leaving the running world and leaving the little elite bubble really helps me, because it gave me perspective of like, it doesn't really matter that much. But totally. I think it's something that I will just always struggle with. Even though it doesn't,
because for like, so long it was that way. Yeah,
exactly. And it brought me so much fulfillment too, that it's like hard to find other things that give me that same amount of like fulfillment, because I sacrificed so much and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see like over the course of like, I don't know, at least the next like 20 years of my life, to see like if there's anything else that really makes me feel that way. I don't know. It'll be interesting, but.
No, totally. Yeah. It's such a journey, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, the last question I have is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
Aww. You love that question.
I don't. I hate that question.
Why?
No, it's just, this is hard. Because I feel like, I've said this before, but I feel like my younger self had it all figured out. And I'm like, I want advice from them, you know? Like, they were so, like, new. Like, we're so confident in who they were, and, like, and then I feel like the world kind of fucked them up, and then now it's, like, but, so I guess my advice to them would be, like, just be yourself, and, like, don't let anyone, like, dim your light, or, like, I don't know.
Well, what do you think their advice would be for you now?
Yeah, no, that's what I think it would be, yeah.
Don't dim your light.
Yeah, like, I don't know, don't, like, but... But at the same time, it's, like, that's, like, the journey you go on to come back to who you are, and I don't know.
When do you feel like you lost it?
I feel like high school, like, I don't know, just being, like, some, like, I knew I wasn't a girl, like, from, like, 3 years old, you know? And, like, I feel like when I was, like, 7, I was still, like, dressing the way I want, like, you know, I hated wearing dresses. I hated, like, I don't know, like, I was still, like, I had my hair short, like, so I feel like probably, like, junior high, high school, like, was when you were, like, oh my god, kind of, like, what we were just talking about, like, I need to fit in, I need to, like, so I, like, grew my hair out and, like, you know, started dressing, like, the way, you know, other girls dress, and it was just, like, I did it to, like, fit in and to, like, be well-liked when it's, like, not really who I ever was, and, like, yeah, I feel like then college, I was, like, I feel like I kind of started figuring it out in college, and then, yeah, so I don't know, like, I guess puberty,
no,
like, yeah, fucked me up.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Things get pretty gendered, I feel like, in junior high and high school.
Yeah. And there's just, like,
yeah, I mean, now that you've come out and stuff, do you feel like it's gotten better?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like we were, I'm, like, 28, so I graduated high school in 2013. I just feel like that was a really hard time, like, to be a queer. Obviously, like, generations before me had it way worse, but, like, no one at my high school was, like, out. Like, I feel like now, or even, like, 2 or 3 years later, it was becoming more normalized, and, like, now it's, like, you know, teachers ask, like, what are your pronouns? Like, it's, like, a whole, yeah, it's so much better now, but, like, I don't know. What was the question?
If is it better now when you're the...
Oh, now for me, now that I'm out. Yeah. Definitely. Like, no, and I feel like I've found my people, and everyone here in Flagstaff uses my pronouns, and I was really, like, yeah, it's very freeing and very nice to be my authentic self. And yeah.
Aww. I love that.
Yeah. Hopefully it keeps getting better and better too, you know, as the world opens up their minds a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's definitely slowly changing, and, like,
Yeah,
it's been, like, 2 years now, and, like, I feel like before this year, there wasn't a single race I could go back and watch, and, like, the announcers used my pronouns correctly the whole time, and now there's, like, two of them, you know?
Been a couple. There's
been it's now, it's, like, normalized. Normal. It'd be not normal to misgender me, you know? Right. And so I feel like that's really cool, and that's obviously cool for me, but I think it's really cool for, like, you know, trans and non-binary kids who watch track and field to see and to be like, oh, I can come out and I can be affirmed in my gender. And I think that's, like, really special. And, like, that's, like, why I did it. Like, I really was like, I could go my whole career. I've gone my whole life getting misgendered. I could, like, go the rest of my career and then just wait until I'm done to come out. But then I was like, no, like, I want this for myself, but I want this for, like, other people too. And I know track and field can, like, be that sport and safe space for, you know, little queer kids.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like you're paving the way, so, which is awesome, because I feel like we need so much more representation, just even, like, just in the LGBTQ community in track and field. So I feel like you guys do such a good job. And just talking about it publicly, I feel like it's just so important. Because there's just not that many, like, big names out there that are talking about it. So I feel like that's why people like you so much too. And you're just, like, two likable people, you know? But yeah, I mean, you guys are making a very big impact, which is awesome.
Aww.
Thanks, Emma.
That's so nice.
But I think that's why another part about representation is so important. It's like, Emma and I were both queer, but we're so different too. And it's like, there's not just one way to be queer. Like, you know, there's...
Yeah.
I don't know. Every queer person is their own unique person. And so it's like, if someone can't find representation in me, like, maybe they could find it or see themselves in Emma. And, like, you know, I think that's why it's really important for us to be, like, vocal and use our platforms and, like, just be our open, authentic selves.
Yeah. I do think, like, I obviously come from a very conservative Christian background and everything. And I think for me, going back to the original question, it's like, I believe very much in having and building a healthy relationship with yourself first and foremost in life. And I feel like part of my lived experience is having to, like, stand up to family, friends, you know, a religion that played, like, a massive role in my life and my understanding of the universe, right? And so I think that's why I prioritize, like, always, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just sometimes, like, when we talk about the people-pleasing stuff and when we talk about, like, you know, building confidence, my confidence was built from having to, like, literally confront the people that I love and love me and be like, no, like, this is who I am, and, like, have to, like, live with that change and go a completely different direction in my life, and often, like, live without those connections and that security that I was, that I've grown up with.
Yeah.
So I feel like, to me, it's so serious and so important to build a good relationship with yourself and to know, like, to know yourself so well that when someone you trust and respect tells you that, like, who you are is wrong or what you're doing is wrong, that you can stand up and say no.
Yeah.
Like, no, I am a good person. It isn't wrong to feel this way. And so I do feel like that's the most important thing to me, is that you really don't let anyone other than yourself, like, tell you what is,
yeah,
like, right and wrong. So I feel that to my core, and I just want to
preach.
Yeah. So I just, like you can't trust anyone else to, like, stand up for yourself, basically. Like, yeah, it's on you to do that. And I think, yeah, what we've both probably learned is you can be pleasantly surprised the people that do accept you, like, showing up as you are. Obviously, we're both very privileged.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I applaud anyone who is able to do that in their life. So, yeah, good job. Good job to us.
No, I mean, I feel like this episode got so serious. Like, yeah, towards the end, we were talking about skunks. Now we're talking about real life things. No, but that's also what I like about you guys, is that you guys, like, you guys are both two hilarious people, but then also you're definitely able to have, like, real deep conversations that need to be talked about, and publicly too, because it takes a lot of courage to, like, talk about, you know, personal things that you're dealing with and stuff, like, in the public eye. So I can't even imagine, like, what it looks like on your guys' end, but I just know, like, I don't know, just from meeting on social media too, I just feel like you probably get a lot of people's opinions on things.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just think the ability to be able to, like, handle that, and also you guys are just, like, two really funny people, so I just like talking to you, and I think you guys are a blessing to the running world. Someone even said that, like, in the question box that I said, they're like, you guys, you three are, like, some of the best things that's, like, happened to the running world. And I was like, that's really nice to say.
That's so nice.
Honestly, I agree.
Honestly, retweet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, this episode's gone on for an hour and 30 minutes, but
oh my gosh,
we'll wrap it up. Where can people follow you at, check out all of your stuff, sign up for the Pride 5K, but you probably can't do that yet.
Yeah. Follow Pride 5K on Instagram.
EmmaGee1777 on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
Oh yeah, I'm on TikTok. I'm not on Twitter though.
I'm not on Facebook though, I feel like.
I'm on Facebook.
I, like, got logged out of my Facebook, which who the hell even uses Facebook anymore? But, like, I got logged out, so I can't edit anything. So it says like Nikki Hiltz, and then it says she, her.
Nice.
Like, the pronouns. Very. And then it says interested in meth. Like, as far as, like, your sexuality.
I bet you even ever added your preference.
I know, why?
Why did you add?
Yeah, well, yeah. Also, why does Facebook ask that? Like, is it a dating site?
Yeah, that's so weird.
Anyway, so, yeah, Sam Murphy told me that that's what my Facebook said the other week, and I was dying laughing.
Just, like, wish I could update that.
Yeah, I can't.
Yes, you're in the minutes.
Anyways, yeah.
Anyways, so don't add you on Facebook.
Yeah,
because you will not accept Facebook. Okay, well, hopefully you guys come to the On Running meet this weekend. If not, I'll see you guys at USA's probably, or Portland Track Festival if I pull up.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that's it. I don't really know.
Yeah, well, thank you for all that you do for the running.
Yeah, you make the running world cooler. Like, literally, if you weren't there, we'd be so screwed.
No, you guys are too nice. Okay, well, to end the episode, we can do it in unison this time. A good old peace out, fellas. You guys can say it together.
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode of Combs Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. I know it was kind of long, but honestly, it was just so funny. Sometimes I, like, literally forget that I'm talking on a podcast, and I just feel like I'm talking to my friends on FaceTime or something. So sorry it went on a little bit long, but I hope you guys enjoyed, like, the random tangents.
Follow us on Instagram at @ComsOverColdBrewPod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes and submit listener questions. And yeah, I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellows.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.